appointed a provincial commissioner of Mpumalanga in November 2009. We got together as management and did a situation analysis on the province, why they were doing bad, as they were regarded as the worst province in the country. So during the brainstorming, it came out that the 7 stations that they contributed 40% of our crime were Middleburg, Witbank, Tanyamazane, Kapokweni, Forstmann, and Tonga. So we took a decision as management that we need to redirect our resources and give them 100% resources to see if they can make impact in the crime in the province. So we had luckily with students that were passing out in January that were already allocated to other stations. So with the agreement, all the station commanders, cluster commanders, we rerouted those students to the mentioned stations. And we said we needed to strengthen the partnership with the stakeholders like Department of Community Safety, CPF, Chairperson Board, Independent Complaints Directorate, and Organized Labor. As well as the Business Against Crime and POSEC, which is a security cluster of the security company. The key result areas was to address the generators of crime, reduce levels of crime, sector policing, sustain and establish new partnerships, and qualitative resource management. And our generators of crime, we set targets that we need to increase the arrest in the possession of firearms by 10% and also address shipments by raiding them and increase the seizure of drugs, address corruption in the police and address high flyers and address the mob justice because they were contributing a lot when people took the law into their hands. And we set targets that we needed to reduce conduct crime from 7 to 10% sexual offenses and by daily arresting the suspects and arrest all the wanted suspects. We set a target which was very, very high, which was 80% by the end of March 2012. Although we have not reached the target, but we set 30,000 wanted suspects on the list. Now we're standing at 7,000, that includes the new circulated criminals. And we said we needed to reduce property crime by 7 to 10%. And all our housebreaking cases needed to be attended by LCRC, no matter where it is happening. And to reduce the stock theft by 60%. Unfortunately, the target was also too high. We did manage to reduce it by 12.7%. And we also needed to improve on our reaction time and establish a war room which was going to focus mostly on true crime. Our standard procedures, minimum standard procedure for sector policing was 1 vehicle per sector, 2 members in a vehicle, 24/7 operational. And the vehicle was not only marked for those stations identified. We said we needed to identify if it is a sector one, we must also mention the name of that sector. For instance, if it is in Masoi, sector one would be Chocho, so that people can own that vehicle and also ask questions, what is it doing in a certain area. And we needed to establish new partnerships with the community, not only in reducing crime, but also felt that we needed to show them that we also have social responsibility. There was a school that we adopted which was problematic, Maibui High School, that we formed partnership with Old Mushwal in terms of repairing the school and also bringing back discipline in the school. It was good to hear last year that we increased their pass rate from 16% to 59% with our intervention, because we were there to make sure that they are at school in time and we search for drugs and all other activities that was not in order in school. With those stations, we agreed that the supply chain, finance, everybody, all provincial heads will be focusing on those schools and give them the resources that they needed. For the financial year, our crime categories in terms of reduction in summary form, we managed to reduce the conduct crime by 10%, and conduct related crimes by 13%, property crime by 5.76%, and we increased our arrest in the police cases dependent on police action by 34%. Other serious crime was a minor reduction. Minus 0.30%. But for those identified stations, seven identified stations, when it comes to murder, Middlebank reduced their crime by 54.5%, MLO by 26.3%, Witbank by 3%, Kanyamazane by 37.5%, Kapobwini by 24.1%, Forsman by 24.4%, and Donga by 57.1%. When it comes to attempted murder, Middlebank reduced their crime by 50%, MLO by 21.9%, Witbank by 52.1%, Kanyamazane by 34.7%, Kapobwini had an increase of 35.7%. And the reason there being that there were syndicates operating in Kapobwini stealing cars, and they had to be shoot out between the police and most of these cars were generated by this incident where police are complaining and where suspects are also complaining. In Fortman, there was a reduction of 25.5%, down of minus 12.5%. When it comes to robbery with aggravating circumstances, Middlebank is a reduction of 8%, MLO 0.7%, with them. Minus 14.6%, Kanyamazane minus 14.8%, Kapobwini minus 17.2%, and Forsman minus 10.2%. In this category, in this issue, it was only dominated an increase of 4%. When it comes to common robbery, Middlebank did not perform very well, at a plus 43%, as well as Witbank with an increase of 32%. But the rest of the stations had a good reduction. With assault, GBH, all the stations had a decrease except for Fortman, which had an increase of 7.5%. Assault Common, it was only Middlebank that showed an increase of 2.7%, the rest had a reduction, although it's not big figure. Sexual offenses, it was Witbank, Kapobwini and Donga that had a drastic increase. We are continuously dealing with these crimes where stations showed increase. With carjacking, Middlebank had all the stations had a good decrease except for Kanyamazane, which has 25% decrease. We tried track hijacking, the two Middlebank and MLO at high degrees, MLO at 500 degrees, which is 1 case to 6 cases, and Middlebank at 60%, which is 10 cases to 16 cases more. With regard to house robbery, Middlebank, I mean all the stations showed a decrease, but the storm at very little decrease, which was 9.2%. This robbery was a crime in the whole province that we were unable to reduce. I think overall for the province we have plus 13%, and all of them mostly emanating from the barber shop. Good practice that we think helped us was to be able to identify the problem, which was those seven stations that contributed to 40%, and addressing them accordingly. And the deployment of senior officers after hours at clusters to oversee the service delivery at stations. For instance, at stations, at clusters of a brigadier and major general, they have got two full colonels, and also one or two stations that will have a visible head of a full cannon. So I, after seeing that everybody goes home at 4 o'clock, then the purpose of the cluster is defeated. So So I gave instruction that after 4, there would be a senior officer not on standby, but physically on duty at the bigger station to oversee the service delivery in the stations within the class. That includes the monitoring of the vehicles, because it does not have an AVL monitor, but I've got 24 hours, 7 days a week AVL monitor in the war room. So if he wants to know where his vehicles are, he will phone the war room, and the war room will look for him and will tell him there and there. We also established trio crime task teams in problematic clusters when it comes to trio crime, the Tonga, Akono, Pinar, Whitbank, and Elfrid. And also what actually helped us was every bi-week we sit in the office and we'll discuss which cluster we're going to be visiting. So we ended up visiting two clusters per month. And when we visit the cluster, we look at their resources and also look at the problems that they're having and see how we can help them. And what also contributed a lot was the availability of vehicles during the 2010 World Cup, which created a high visibility, and as well as the reintroduction of the FCS units in 15 clusters also helped in the reduction of sexual offenses. We've got 50 women identified and incorporated into the Female Detective Development Program, which, as the management, designed a curriculum for them to address their weaknesses, because we don't have branch commanders within the detectives. Either that they are scared or they don't have confidence. So we're working on their confidence to make them the branch commanders. These 50 are in the program, and next year we'll be putting them in a smaller station that should give them support to gain that confidence, and by the time, in 3 years' time, we'll have maybe 50-50 representation in terms of the detective branch commander. The challenges that we are experiencing is this mushrooming of this informal business, as my colleagues have also alluded to. Sometimes we try to be harsh in terms of addressing these informal businesses, but the problem is we don't have the bylaws. So we can't charge them for illegal trading, because those cases they get thrown out in court. And some of them, they see the police attention as focusing on them as a good practice, that then they invite other people from other areas to come and make more. To make more spaza shops, because they see we're giving them more attention. Delayed delivery of ordered vehicles also contribute in sustaining the performance, because without visibility, obviously there will be an opportunity for crime. This year we've got 325 vehicles. We've got 175 yet to be delivered, and now is the end of the year already. The condition of the roads, gravel roads not attended to by the responsible department. I'm not talking about the vehicle that you can use in those roads. Talking about the roads that are not drivable, you know, at all. And of course, the province does not have a high court, so it means our cases will take longer because they go to Pretoria. And the distance that we have to drive to take our DNA for forensics at in Pretoria. those are the challenges. And of course, the other challenge that I did not mention is that we share criminals with Mozambique. And the laws are different. If I make an example, we've been hit hard by the criminals of Mozambique in the house robberies in Nelspruit. They work hand in hand with the people of Tonga. So the moment they're able to get to Tonga, those people they cross the border. Recently, they were arrested across the border, but you could not get them because the laws of Mozambique, they say they must finish their case that side first before you can have them. So while we were waiting for them to finalize the case, the six suspects escaped. And now I think they are back in the area because the house robbery is increasing in the area again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. You are waiting this time. 15 minutes, and we're going to move on to the next presentation by Ibopo Prof.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, the Honorable Members. Chairperson, why don't we just start quickly with the profile of the province. In terms of the profile of the province, one can see that it's really a huge land surface that one is using, and the population thereof is 5.4 million. And I think I'm more or less like General Tovela, who's bordering with a number of countries. I'm bordering with Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Botswana. And there are also a lot of ports of entry. In terms of the police stations, one has got 94 stations in the province, as well as 16 clusters. And in the province, there are 15 contact crime stations, including one presidential station. Chairperson, in terms of the resources, that is the figure of the resources in the province, and more or less in terms of male and female, how it is divided in the province. And the next figure there also shows how many males we have and females that we have, especially in the last three columns. It simply means that we have a lot of males in the province, and I think in terms of transformation, we really change in that situation. And of course, in terms of the annual turnover, Chairperson, there is a figure there in terms of termination, and that's the last second column, 279. I think that shows that it becomes a cause of concern if you're having that type of turnover. Bearing in mind that you're having your training, your cops now in the police are undergoing two years training, which means if you have lost this 279, it takes you 2 years to replace or to fill the gap. And I think it's the challenge that we will have in the police in terms of resources. How do we resource the stations? But I think it's a challenge that requires the collective decision as to how are we going to fill the gap, because if you're losing two members now, it takes you 2 years to replace those members. And then in terms of the next phase, the reasons why members are leaving, or the staff is leaving the service also, one can have a look at the death as well as the resignation and the retirement. Those are the figures that become a cause of concern. And this is how the members are leading the organization. In terms of death, it's something that one, a challenge that one cannot prevent. But the resignation, yes, sometimes maybe you need a fresh blood, but that becomes also a concern, because it's just an indication that as an organization, we faced with challenges that require a collective decision in the future as to how we deal with. Then in terms of the issue of promotion, in terms of promotion, Chairperson, I think when you visited my province, you did realize that there is a cause of concern in terms of promotions, which is based on tribalism and so on, and that matter has been discussed with the acting National Commissioner, and it is going to be investigated. So there won't be, again, promotions that are based on tribal. So then the issue of leave, the issue of sick leave, it is a cause of concern if one looks at a column that speaks to the number of employees using sick leave. the use number and also when you look into the last column that speaks to the estimated cost. It simply means that it's an indication that the province has a problem in terms of sick leave, absenteeism, and I think you experienced that yourself when you visited the province. But we're having a workshop that is planned to deal with this. And unfortunately, the workshop that one implemented in the past that worked when one was still an area commissioner in Laval. After implementing that project, it worked very well. We never had problems of absenteeism. So absenteeism should be a history in the future. In 3 months' time, it's a problem. Right, while we're still talking about leave and incapacity, one can see also that in terms of employees that are utilizing this disability leave, it is still also a concern, and as well as the estimated cost. That it is a lot of money, and that is why it's necessary that management will have to fast track its plan to address this challenge. And then in terms of the misconduct in Chairperson, one can see that in terms of dismissal, there is a big number that takes place, but also in terms of the fine. I think the dismissal there, it simply means at least the management is addressing the problem of misconduct, but one may not be so much happy because we still have maybe to increase that pay. But then the suspended dismissal, especially to enforce this, the suspended dismissal, I think you had concern when you visited Beggersford about this suspended dismissal. And some of those cases, what is within the powers of the provincial commissioner is to review some of those cases, especially the recent ones. And some of the old cases that were decided long ago, and there is going to be a national project to look into all the members in the service that have got criminal cases and to take those cases collectively with the secretariat to see as to what approach can be taken in the entire country. So some of the cases under suspended dismissal, it is a problem, a cause of concern, because members that have committed crime are coming back into the organization. And actually, we don't need them. So that process is going to be reviewed and the way some of them, I think the dismissal might be conceived. Then regarding the grievances, Chairperson, most of the grievances that are lost in the province get attention and they are being resolved. I think the slide of human resource development, we can skip that. Then in terms of the career management, it simply means that the members have been assessed in terms of performance, and actually the intention is to get 100% performance. And of course also the issue of the inspectorate was indicated earlier that it should be effectively utilized, and we have discovered that in the province most of the flu they are reported that that number of cases, 108 complaints received, is more about the investigation. And where maybe, or even in terms of 81%, is more about poor service delivery. And what we're doing in the province, we started identifying through these invasives detectives that are not performing, and we started dealing with them. And it's delivering some good results, positive. In terms of legal services, it is also a responsibility in the police to deal with some of the civil claims and litigation. And these are the figures how we deal with this province, how we deal with the challenges in the province. I think the province is not doing so much bad, but I think these figures are still huge here in terms of cases that are finalized and also those cases that need to be settled. We would love to do better than what we are doing now. Then in terms of the information system, Chairperson, some of these issues here are the issues that where we utilize a lot of our budget of the that was allocated for the National Police Day. We bought some of the equipment in terms of this. I think the province is very rural and it needs a lot of IT, and that is where we focus on. It may not be sufficient. And then in terms of computers, that is what we have. And these are the number of laptops. And of course, the LCDs is very limited. We would love to get more of this technology. This is what we would love to discuss also with the DIFCOM of the Forensics Laboratory. Then in terms of the vehicles, Chairperson, that is the vehicles that were the total of the vehicles that we have, and then that was ordered and received. And that means then there are challenges sometimes in terms of receiving the vehicles in time. But I think most of them have now been received. Then in terms of the computers, that is what we have on the laptops and the MCs. Then in terms of the bulletproof vest, that is what we have. It should be covering the number of the personnel that we have in the province. And as well as the bulletproof vest for females, and we seem to be doing well in that regard. The budget, Chairperson, that was 461 million that was allocated to the province, and I think in terms of the budget, one needs to indicate that it's a bit of a challenge, especially when you take into account the issue of the petrol that is increasing, but also the vastness of the area in the rural areas. These budgets seem not to be sufficient, but one has got to take into and discuss it with the national air office, because it is not just sufficient to address the challenges that we have in the province. Right, the next part, page is also about budget, we can do that. Chairperson, in terms of the those projects, the first paragraph, the top paragraph, most of those projects have been addressed. And then the second paragraph that talks to the five satellite police stations. It's what really is a concern, and it can be painful sometimes, especially those who know Limpopo, that people have got to travel 50, 60 kilometers to reach a police station. So that's why it's necessary to have these projects. And this would include the one of Polokwane, where when you visited the province, where we spoke about the second police station for Polokwane. And that matter has already been discussed with the acting national commissioner, as well as the deputy national commissioner that deals with supply chain, that it should be included in these five satellite stations in order that we can try to close the gap. I think I indicated last time that I come from Gauteng, where you can't travel more than 10 kilometers before reaching a station. And I think in Limpopo, at least we say, you should rather at least be traveling 30 or 40 kilometers than you reach the next station. So we need to go a long way to get more police stations and to have service delivery accessible to the people of Limpopo. In terms of visible policing, Chairperson, we're having 60 clusters, and that's the number of stations that we have. Yes, we're having also challenges in terms of the escape here from custody. Some of the suspects get rearrested, but also in terms of the victim-friendly facilities, there seems to be a challenge, and I think we've resorted also to the situation of Northwest, where we have discussed also with the DNC that deals with physical resources. Discuss the issue of the park homes and the auctions, and to ensure that we have victim-friendly facilities where we can service our victims with dignity. And in terms of the reserve, that is the budget that is allocated. Chairperson, I think when you visited the province, you realized also there was a challenge in terms of the firearms, and these are some of the challenges that we have. And we are going to have training in the entire province as to how to deal with firearms and also to set up teams that would, on a regular basis, be visiting stations and ensuring that the station commanders are doing what they are supposed to do. The operational response, that page we can skip. The next one is about just the successes of operational response as to what they are doing, and especially at the borders. In terms of the port of entry, one doesn't want to elaborate so much. I think we are aware that most of the provinces that are heading borders do experience problems, and at the borders also the challenge that you have is the accommodation for the members that are working there, and even schooling is a problem, and even doctors, when they're supposed to see doctors. Then in terms of the detectives, this is a slide that the pie that shows us what is happening in terms of contact crime, property-related crime, serious crimes, but I would prefer to go to the next slide, which shows in terms of graphs as to what is happening. In terms of the graph, the chairperson, it might be showing a slight decrease. But then in terms of this slight decrease, even in the next page also, it is still showing a slight decrease. But you're aware, chairperson, that we're having the investigation in the province in terms of So in terms of the contact crimes, yes, I think all of them, they seem to be showing that a slight decrease. But we're hoping that the situation that we can contain. And I think where we're having a worry is about the crimes that are heavily dependent on police action. It should be more rather than less. It shows a decrease there, and it's not going well with us, and it's something that we need to improve upon. But when it comes to the robbery at the business premises, it is a problem for us. It shows an increase. And these are issues that we will have to address seriously as a collective. Commercial crime also seems to be a bit of a problem for us, as well as other theft. Then, chairperson, the challenges. I think earlier in the presentation, the issue of absenteeism came up. It's a big challenge, but we have a way how to approach it. The issue of the post, I think most of the post, the spaces, the chairperson, should one member or two members be off sick, you almost come to a situation where a station may not function. And these are the issues that one is going to discuss with the National Commission. Then the low detection and conviction rate, I think that is the general problem that we have. And we are going to work on it. There is a plan that that we applied while one was in Houghton, and a 10-point plan, and I think it's the same plan that we can change or apply in the new program. 1 minute. Provincial Commission. My time? 1 minute. 1 minute. Okay. Chairperson, I think the solutions, some of the proposed solutions, is really to deal with the issue of sick leave, as well as the issue of how to deal with the foreign nationals, but it's not a big deal for us, we will deal with it. Actually, what the Honourable Member was saying,
We have started a rate, especially around Musina. We arrest employers that are employing foreign nationals, and it's the best way of dealing with it.
But also in terms of ensuring that because we have a problem of police killings in the province, as well as the ritual killings. So these are some of the solutions that we have in mind, and we should be in control of the situation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Provincial Commissioner. I realize that you're going to take the off on the issue you're raising. Therefore, we're going to proceed to the next program, which is please then. Thank you, Honorable Member, Honorable Member Chairperson Chikunga, the portfolio members that are here, Honorable Members. Thank you for the opportunity to be afforded to address the House. Without any waste of time, I'm going to be doing the presentation for policing issues in KwaZulu-Natal, starting with the profile of the province through the permission of the Chairperson that I will be alluding to a few matters in relation to the profile, but maybe skipping some of the matters. The reason being that, Chairperson, I've noticed that the presentation from KwaZulu-Natal is actually too long, so therefore one will have to start cutting on certain matters. But of importance, Chairperson, to KwaZulu-Natal is that we are policing more than 10 million population, that is community. We also have about 25 clusters with 185 policing stations. And maybe also to mention, Chairperson, that as we look into the map, that one of the issues that is making KwaZulu-Natal to be unique in terms of policing is that we are bordering with various countries. In this instance, bordering with Mozambique, bordering also with Lesotho, and also bordering with Swaziland. As far as the stations, the provinces are concerned, one will also want to allude to the provinces that we are bordering with in this instance, once from Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, as well as the Free State. Both of us experiencing the challenges as far as the stock theft is concerned, and also once in a while having trilaterals and bilaterals with the adjacent provinces and the countries to address as such. One will go straight to the crime categories in this sense, looking into the murders and the attempted murders. Chair, one would want to indicate that for 2010-2011, one has noticed that there has been a downward trend as far as those crimes are concerned, maybe also indicating that amongst the other causes of crimes in the province, particularly to the murders, has been related to the issues of the intergroup conflict, the taxi situations, and of course some of the matters to the taxi violence. Without any waste of time, Chairperson, maybe one also want to allude to say that as far as the taxi violence, taxi dispute is concerned, one has had the opportunity of engaging the provincial joints, but in this instance, the specific responsible department, the Department of Transport, Community Safety and Liaison, of which the MEC thereof is also responsible for the for safety and liaison. One has been able to engage the Department of Transport and, of course, like I've said, the safety and security on these issues, and one has been successful in terms of coming up with solutions. In this instance, the interventions by various departments and as well as the police, traditional policing, and of course interventions from the other departments. One will also want to allude to the matter, Chairperson, to say that as one alluded to the some of the causes as a short analysis, that as the police, we have further from the baseball focus on the retrieval of the illegal firearms as well as legal firearms, because we will remember that some of the murders that has been committed, not only will they be committed through illegal firearms, but also legal firearms in cases of domestic violence. We have, as the police from this poll, also encouraged the focus that is more focus on stop and searches, therefore retrieving the knives and the dangerous weapons, and of course operations directed at the liquor outlets, and engaging the NGOs as well as also focusing on the crime pattern and the crime threat analysis. We have also focused the 10% in order to address the matters, address the issue of the drug by actually focusing on certain areas. We will remember that in KwaZulu-Natal, maybe for some of us that are not conversant with the province, that most of the drugs in our policing precinct are more concentrated around the areas of Chatsworth, Durban North, Durban, that is Durban Central, Phoenix, Zululand, and so forth, and that is where of our operations, but not necessarily with only on those areas, but also within the entire province, but the concentration being on all those areas. We have also have been engaging the department, that is the Department of Economic Development, that is whereby we have actually requested them to start looking into the giving of licenses, that is the liquor board, to say that as much as people have certain qualifications in terms of applications and receiving licenses, we have requested the board to start seriously reconsidering some of these applications so that we are able to limit the numbers of the liquor outlets, whether legal or so. We have also from the police side, maybe a chairperson encourage the detectives to start improving on the crime intelligence operations by continuously further also in ensuring that they recruit sufficient informers, that they also continuously pay their informers. One of the other requests as a strategy or as a strong point from KwaZulu-Natal, we are encouraging our police members to continuously implement what we call effective crime management, crime scene management. We believe 10% that for some of the cases, especially whereby you want to make a good conviction in court, it is of importance that where you don't know the suspect, if you want to make a good detection, if you want to improve also on cases to court, you have to engage the detective in crime scene management, because that is where you're going to be finding all your exhibits, all your evidence. Chairperson, I will request that maybe just to highlight some of the stations as they are not reflected on my presentation that has contributed for matters in the province, including the stations like the Inanda, Umlazi, Places La, that is the top 10, Duzuma, Mpangeni, Kwamashu, Marian Hill, and what goes on. Maybe also to indicate 10% that of the matters, one also was that has been a challenge was the hostels, but with the more focus in terms of the operations, particularly deploying the TRT and the VSPOL members as well as the POP, we have seen the situation at 10% actually decreasing, except for the latest incidents that has been mentioned on the TV, and whereby we have actually established a task team to deal with those crimes. As far as the sexual offences are concerned, the 10%, as a strategy from KwaZulu-Natal, what we have been doing is that we have been educating our community through social crime prevention, and we have also engaged the Department of Social Development so that the referral also are able to assist us in engaging the other NGOs, that is through educating the community. We have also embarked on the process of our constructive engagement with the communities, particularly the community that is the CPF. We have implemented and 10%, and we are still maintaining and we are still sustaining the concept of community policing. We believe as the police and the community in KwaZulu-Natal that the police actually need the other stakeholders. In this instance, we need the community to help us to identify who the perpetrators are and how to arrest them through the Department of Community Safety and Liaison, which is actually not part of this presentation. We have managed to mobilize the community, and we are actually receiving very good information from the community as far as the suspects are concerned, and that has been our strong point. As far as the detectives are concerned on this matter, we have engaged, we have embarked on a process of ensuring that
All the suspects that are known, they are immediately investigated. We have engaged the FCS. We will remember, Chairperson, that one of the other challenges in most of the provinces was the limited capacity within the FCS. So since we were advised to implement the concept of the FCS, we have actually seen a difference as far as these cases are concerned. One can safely also mention that we have about 25 FCS within the province. Of course, working together with the DPCI on the issues of human trafficking and, of course, the MPA. We will then, Chairperson, move to the assault to say that as far as the assaults are concerned, they are the causes thereof most of the time. It's no more on the arguments, it's more on people that are known to one another. Other factors related to abuse of alcohol and drugs and so forth. And as the police in the province, that is what we have been doing, focusing specifically. I would have wanted the Chairperson at some point to reflect to the House the numbers of arrests or the numbers of arrests as far as the closing of the cabins and the liquor outlets are concerned, but maybe one will do that at a later stage so that one is able to save time. As far as the robberies are concerned, Chairperson, we have managed to bring the robberies down, that is robbery at residential level for 2010-2011 with the percentage as it has been indicated on the slide. One will also notice that from 2003 actually until 2004-2005, there was a particular decline as far as these incidents are concerned, but suddenly from 2004 until 2008-2009, one has noticed that there has been an increase. Maybe there might have been some challenges or reasons to that. What we have done as the province, particularly as the different departments, we have engaged the crime intelligence, we have engaged the DPCI, we have engaged the detectives. Maybe that is why we are able to see a downward trend, because what has been happening is that the suspects through the community engagement have been identified and we have been able to then address or arrest the perpetrators. I will not go into a lot much, Chairperson, on the issues on the robbery at the non-residential premises, as it has been alluded to some of the colleagues to say that some of these crimes that are being committed at this area, they belong to the nationals. What we have done as the province in order to address this matter, we have engaged the JCPS in this instance. Our MEC for Community Safety and Liaison requested him to take this matter further for us in terms of the various departments to try and encourage people that are actually coming to the country that are foreign nationals to have the specific status when they are coming to the province. One will also take into consideration, Chairperson, that among the other challenges that you are facing as the police or not necessarily in KZN is that when some of our foreign nationals they come into the country or to the provinces, they will come as asylum seekers. And as we go to the Home Affairs, there are some certain matters which the Home Affairs is actually working on to try and improve. That is why we find a situation whereby when some of our foreign nationals they are coming to the country, there are not actually a lot of in-depth questions that are being asked, and they somehow come into the mainstream and they start to stay with us, and once in a while then some of our community members then they take advantage of them in terms of actually robbing them where they are staying. One will also want to allude, Chairperson, to the strategies that we have embarked on as far as car hijacking is concerned, business robberies and so forth, and the residential robberies at residential. Chairperson, one of our strong points has been that not only do we have the task teams that are dedicated as far as the car hijacking are concerned, but we also have the war room that actually consists of different disciplines. So the different disciplines in this instance whereby we have the detectives, we have the crime prevention, we have the intelligence, and we have the CRC, and an immediate analysis is being done at that level, and we are able to then bring down the level to identify, that is through the analysis, we are able to identify who the perpetrators are, and we are able to arrest them. Chairperson, as a strong point in KwaZulu-Natal at the war room, we have further taken this concept to some of the clusters, that is in terms of the mini war rooms, just to make sure that the concept is being spread evenly. So we have engaged the detectives in terms of doing what is being expected from the detectives. One of the other issues that we have also have been engaging on was to ensure that the threats that have been identified have been registered, and the so-called perpetrators are being identified through the formulation of the database. The intelligence also continuously ensuring that the informers are actually recruited. When we go to a person to Burglary Residential, Chairperson, one would want to indicate that from 2010, that is 2010 to 2011, we have been having a very serious challenge on these issues of the break-in, particularly residential, with some of the security measures around the residence, Chairperson, being lowered. One of the other areas that one can actually allude to as far as the Burglary Residential is concerned are the areas like your Pinetown, your Margate, your Hillcrest, your Umlaz, your Empangeni, Inanda, places like Nduzuma and Kwaduguza. What we have started to engage upon, we have requested the Department of Community Safety and Liaison to assist us in actually doing some crime awareness campaign and actually sensitizing the community in terms of how to improve safety measures at their own houses. This also will relate to burglary at the non-residential premises. As far as the theft of and out of motor vehicle is concerned, we have identified specific policing precinct, that is specific areas within our area whereby these crimes have been committed. The areas including your Durban Central, your Umbilo, your Pinetown, your Point, your Phoenix, your Chatsworth, Durban North, Mountain Rise, Pietermaritzburg, as well as the Berea. What we have noticed to have been happening was that we then identified a number of syndicates that will use the device that we'll call the jamming device, whereby the suspect will actually come closer to your car and actually start to remote lock or to overwork your device, therefore having more access in terms of your vehicle and then helping him or herself with it. What we have done as the police, we have actually engaged the various business centers and we have then requested them to encourage them to deploy more security guards at the shopping centers. We have encouraged also the business to engage or to encourage the shop owners to buy more of the CCTV, and we have also encouraged the community to refrain from what you call the fraud-related insurance claims, and therefore we have further encouraged the community through the CPF to engage in terms of buying more of the alarm systems so that when somebody is about to come to your car, one is able to be able to identify the perpetrators. Among the other strategies that we have also done is,
as a matter of fact, you have exhausted your time.
Okay.
However, Babunjo, then I must give you 4 minutes. So 4 minutes.
And can I request that I speak not from the presentation, because I've realized that as much as I would have wanted to talk, the presentation is going to discourage me. Chairperson, what has been another strong point for the police in KwaZulu-Natal was that when we came back, that must have been, that is for 2010, 2011, when we came back from the announcement that was made by the minister as far as the candidates were concerned, there were a number of changes that had to take place within the province. And among the other changes that had to take place within the province was that one had called in all the cluster commanders and the station commanders, and a proper crime pattern and crime threat analysis was done, and we then agreed that the station commanders and the cluster commanders that were performing very well. What we did then was we implemented a concept called Rent-a-Cop. For example, in Guamashu, that is within the Inanda or the Guamashu cluster, we took then the cluster commander of Devon Central to Guamashu to go and share the good practices at the policing precinct and encourage more culture of working. We then took the cluster commander, I'm citing that as an example, of Guamashu Inanda to Devon Central, so that he can also go and share some good practices. So was the rental cop around the provinces. And one of the other things that was happening was that we have then encouraged the detectives to concentrate more on their investigative skills and also encourage more in terms of the suspect reading. We have then also encouraged the visible policing to look more in terms of the basic policing, that is your roadblocks, your stop and searches, and so forth. We have then further encouraged the DPCI, in this instance, the Hawks, to look into more of their projects in terms of identifying the perpetrators who have been committing the true crimes. And I can indicate the chairperson that it must have been within a short space of time, which was actually about 5 months. But as a collective, we were able to, and we have rewarded our members. Focus on the drugs, focus on the perpetrators. That is what has made us, as the province of KwaZulu-Natal, to achieve the results that we have achieved during 2010-2011. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very, very much, Provincial Commissioner.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members of parliament, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. Chairperson, I think we are riding on the success of 2010 Soccer World Cup in terms of the visibility of police in not only in Gauteng, but in the whole country, and the demand that has been put by the people of the country in terms of seeing that that was sustained. What we see as the first slide here is not happening anywhere else but in Gauteng, September 2010, where, lest we forget, that we need to record that these are the things that are happening, because when they are gone, we will tend to be forgetting that they were there before. So the strategy had to talk to dealing with those problems that we experienced at that particular moment. What we did, we look at the crimes that were a problem, and we indicated that if we look at the serious and violent crime, that the crimes that are bothering the people, the 10 crimes become, come out strongly. And then we looked at 30 police stations in the province, and those 30 stations, what is their contribution to the whole crime situation in the province as far as those crimes are concerned? We found that murder, there are 30 stations that contribute to 51.4% of that crime in the province. And it goes down to robbery aggravated, that those 30 stations contribute to robbery aggravated 46.2. But what we did, we extrapolated. Next slide, please. We extrapolated, looking at the stations. Gauteng has 135 policing precincts. And out of the 135 policing precincts, we looked at 87 stations in terms of what contribution did they make to the 10 crimes. We realized that the 87 stations are contributing to murder 79%. It's almost 80% that those 87 stations are contributing to the problem. And there's a reason to do that. We've also looked in terms of what generates these crimes, and those are the reasons which most of my colleagues outlined this morning. But pertinent to this, which is actually more disturbing, is a center point, which is a corruption of those that are wearing uniform and contributing to the problems that we have in the province. It is concerning that in 14 months, that 625 police officials will be arrested in only one province, which is an indication that if this was not the case, you would actually be dealing with the generators of those crimes effectively at the end of the day. 625 would be equal to almost two stations that could be producing a service for the people out there. The strategy actually looked at what the government wants to achieve. The outcome tree of government talks to the people of South Africa not only feeling safe, but being safe. And it does put some outputs that if the strategy that you need to deal with does not talk to those, may not necessarily be in a position to be addressing what is needed. We did the consultation in terms of the people that were there, and we picked it up in terms of the volumes of crime in Gauteng, that if Gauteng can reduce crime, it will go a long way in reducing crime in the country. And we've been saying that the safer Gauteng means a safer South Africa, because the quantities of crime, as it's going to be seen, as we go down, it's actually very, very high. Now, we looked with the people of Gauteng in terms of what strategy is needed into place, and then that strategy needs to talk for 5 years as to what needs to be done. And of course, we're saying this is a co-created strategy by the people of the place of Gauteng, labor involved, and of course, it's the vision is shared, and it's indeed derived from the strategic framework and the legislative framework of government. Now, we have to be looking, because we cannot talk about that we have enough money. We will have to make sure that the 1.2 billion that's given to Gauteng operational budget is producing 1.2 billion services to the people on the ground. If we were to do that, we will actually be operating Gauteng as a business unit. In terms of, if in business, you talk to profit, in public service, you talk quality service. Now, when we talk about the quality service in terms of the output, we look at what Tupile says. But Tupile talks to six dimension, quality dimension. If you talk about quality services, there are six dimensions, which we unpack here in terms of what actually is the systematic arrangement. It talks to how do we phase in the strategy that's supposed to deliver. It talks to say that we need to satisfy the demands that are made by the people on the ground in terms of the services that are delivered. Number three, it can't be a zama-zama. If you do something, you need to be in a position to know what are you going to be getting at the end of the day by undertaking purposeful activities. And of course, we need to be talking about the optimal utilization of resources to maximize the output that you need to be getting there. And of course, to deliver the effective, efficient, and economic services. What cannot be measured, Honorable Chairperson, cannot be achieved. Six, which is that dimension, we need to be in a position to say what is it that we want to achieve at the end of the day, so that we can be in a position to know whether we achieved it or not. When you look at the dimension one that talks to this, we talk about the principles that the strategy needs to include, and this strategy talks to all these principles. You will notice that we highlighted three that talks to coordination, communication, and command and control, which we feel as a province is key. They are key areas that if we do those, everything else, I think listening to the House this morning, you will find out the breakdown in command and control results, many other things that service delivery definitely is going to be hampered by that. The people of Gauteng spoke when after doing their visit to those people, they indicated, Chair, that if we talk about achieving outcome number three, there are five things that you need to do. They talked to the accessibility of resources, accessibility of policy. They talked about the visibility of policy. They talked about improving the response time if crime is committed. And they're indicating that in the event that you cannot prevent crime, we need to be seen to be investigating crime. Number five, they said the if. We want to be working with them. There's a serious problem with the integrity of the police and its proven. I've already indicated 625 police officials being arrested. It's confirming really that the people are concerned. They say if you do these five things, there will be increase in the safety level within the province. Now, looking also outcome 12 of government, outcome 12 of government talked to you a lot of issues, but the pertinent one being the accessibility of services. I think Provincial Commissioner ZSM spoke about building station, I think Limpopo talk about getting more service stations. so that their services could be there. In the province, we did look into this thing that 13 million people are being serviced by 135 police stations, which is a problem. You do sit with the problem that at some stations, if you go to Pretoria, for instance, behind the mountain, you will find that there are 5 police stations. Every 3 kilometers, you find a police station, which is a good thing to have. But you find in some communities, in Tembisa, 1.2 million serviced by one police station, which will continuously be a problem in terms of the quantities of crime. If you don't break it down in terms of having more access points within there, you're still going to be a problem. So those are the stations that we prioritize that we'll be looking into, which is the new service that is there from this last financial year is Olevan Old Bosch, which has been putting a big pressure on Vierdeprach in terms of the crime levels of Vierdeprach. When we established this police station, it did actually have an impact in terms of reducing crime there. And we, in this financial year, talking about Fala Marina. And of course, if you look at poison crime, which has been a problem, you look at poison as also a very big policing precinct. It's now going to be broken down into two. There's Moffat View police station that's going to be coming up. And then in Katlehong, there's been an old station, and we built a new station, and the old station became a satellite police station. We've declared that station to be a fully-fledged station at Katlehong North. It definitely will alleviate the pressure on the current station that is there in terms of the work that is done. Cosmo City, we think that if honeydew has been a problem, I think that this honorable member of this committee visited honeydew, and they did see the pressure in terms of the infrastructure challenges that it's having. Cosmo City, if it becomes a fully fledged station, is definitely going to alleviate problems that honeydew is currently having. And of course, Megastar is one of the service points that is extended. Now we look at three, as I mentioned three, we talked to this thing that the visibility, in trying to increase the visibility of police, will have to establish those police entities in terms of the new access points. But more importantly, which we think is the signature of the province in terms of the fight against crime, is the implementation of sector policing in that province. We have currently around about 625 sectors. And in each sector, there is a minimum service standard that's given 2 vehicles per sector. And each vehicle must have the cell phone, and that cell phone should be functional. There are challenges, of course, in terms of the teething problem. We've given those resources to the Community Policing Forum in terms of monitoring whether those are functional or not. We think that we will be in a better position to interact with the community at the lowest level, where it matters most, first line of defense, which is the police station. We are engaged in schools projects as well in terms of the safer schools, and we think that if we can be in a position to work very closely with the teachers, we'll go a long way in terms of getting the work that we do get respected by the kids on the ground. And of course, if you go to Gauteng, you find no freeway without vehicles deploying flying squad at each and every corner where we think that it's hotspot, and we've actually tried to neutralize that. One thing that's good about Gauteng is that it has many freeways. And in the neighborhood, it's very difficult to be driving vehicles. If you hijack a vehicle in the neighborhood, you sure have to escape through the freeway. And then if you escape through the freeway, you're likely to be caught, which is actually being a secret of our success in terms of the number of arrests that we've managed to make in the province. Thirdly, following this thing, housing is not a big province geographically. What you are likely to be doing if you hit Hillsborough, Johannesburg, Soweto, you are going to displace crime to Krugersdorp, Provo Street, and those places, but Mara Street, which is currently what is happening. And we cannot boast about having livestock or stock theft that is much, but the problem that we have is the house robberies that are happening at the plots and the small farming communities that we have there. So in trying to implement the rural safety strategy, in consultation with Agri Gauteng, we bought vehicles, 120 of them, that are suitable to be driving. It's not the best of vehicles that we wanted, of course, but we were told that the RT57 can only buy these ones, which are actually currently a problem, which is a matter that we are addressing currently internally within the organization. And I must say, with the implementation of this and also forcing Agri Gauteng to work very closely with the police because they are willing in terms of doing that, they are in a better position to say whether these are working or not. We're having an evaluation meeting that in terms of this strategy, whether it's working or not, whether we need to be improving anywhere. 3, in terms of the operational approach for the province, which was still on the dimension number 3, we are actually saying a consistent action is going to be providing, you know, a sustained approach in terms of the reduction of crime in the province. We're talking about 3 dimensions there. We say the daily deployment that talks to the flying squad being on the road all the time, talk about the sector vehicles being on the road and monitoring of those that they are there will go a long way. But we're also taking into cognizance that at some stage, places like Hillbrow, Johannesburg, we need to start claiming back the streets. You would have seen in terms of the generators of crime that there are high-tech buildings which are actually forming a bigger portion of buildings in Hillbrow and Johannesburg Central. Now that we need to be having a saturation, which is a deployment consistently for 3 months in that area where we take over some of the streets. We have special operations, of course, where we have intelligence operations that are run periodically and monitored as well in the process. Now, talking to the fourth point that the people spoke about in terms, in the event that you can't investigate crime, prevent crime, you need to investigate it. Housing as a detective service strategy, and thanks to Gerard Novella, who created the strategy 4 years ago, and it's still relevant for where I am currently in terms of the work that we do. And one other thing that has been a problem, I think Gerard Amo spoke about the drugs that he confiscating from Pofotwes. It's a serious indictment on policing in Gauteng because those drugs come from there. And the fact that Western Cape is collecting more drugs that are not supposed to be leaving Gauteng in the first place is a problem. One other thing that has been a problem in the province is that we've been dealing with small-time dealers. We've done the assessment of the people that are in prison to find out whether those people that are in prison, in terms of their profile, really, are they international role players? And we found that not, and we're saying that we will definitely have to be concentrating on high flyers, that we will have to be saying within a certain period of time that people should be locked up. Part of this is the FCS units, that in terms of ensuring that they are fully equipped, and of course the budget that has been given. But even here, we are interacting with the NGOs that are involved in the field in terms of ensuring that training is done. Now, lastly, we've been here, we talk about the command and control, which has been a principle that we say if we improve the command and control of the police, it's definitely going to be improving many other things. We say within the provincial command center, we need to be in a position to do something about it. When we talk about the 10-point plan of the police, if we could do these 10 things and monitor them consistently, not only weekly or monthly, we monitor them daily, we will definitely go. I think many people raise here the issue of the detectives that are a problem. We've declared the first year, which is 2010-2011, as a year of visibility in province, and we definitely said it should be sustained as it is. We declared 2011-2012, which is ending in March, as a year of the detectives. What that meant really is that detectives must be given 100% of the resources that they need. If in housing we're supposed to have 6,700 detectives, we will have 6,700 by the end of this financial year, which is the end of March coming. And we will have to be giving the vehicles. We bought 1,500 vehicles this financial year. 60% of those vehicles are going to detectives, which will also go a long way in ensuring that the detectives are in a position to deal with this thing. But the problem that you have is that whatever resources that get given, as going back to what I said, is that they need to be showing that there is an improvement in the services that are delivered by that particular component. We monitor this thing weekly, and I can't say I have a worry. I sleep at night in terms of looking at the key performance indicators. They are not very high, as it's indicated, that you would say that 30% is the detection rate, but it's the base where it comes from. It comes from 7%, 11%, 12%. Which is an indication that it needs to be there. The command center, as I've already indicated, is going to ensure that, does make sure that there is coordination in this thing. But more than that, each and every component of this, there is a synergy in terms of the work that gets done. When you talk war room, you talk detectives, you talk about profiling the suspects that are there. So there are 3 aspects in the provincial command center that talks to the operations, and the operations really, it talks to all the components that are there. I think there's been a concern about what are the cluster commanders doing, what are the station commanders doing. So within that environment of the operational command center, you are in a better position to know at a given time as to what is happening. We're not where we're supposed to be in terms of the technology that's supposed to be there, because at some stage, we will definitely be relying on the technology. I think the issue of the AVLs, I'm not going to be lying to you and say, I press at a given time and get this. There's a delay, and then sometimes that is dysfunctional, which is a problem that is there. So you would actually have to say the policing of the future in terms of provincial command center, the technology that is within there is in a better position to make us to be able to do this thing. And of course, when you look at the war room, that's a case study. In actual fact, that's a case that happened in real time in terms of the Western Cape, where you get people ordering the vehicles. And then if you have that information, you download the information, it gets in there, it gets analyzed. So that environment in the war room within the command center is in a better position to feed in information to stations in terms of dealing with the problems that they are facing. And lastly, Gauteng is actually in a better position if you look in terms of the surveillance cameras. Everybody has a surveillance camera. But the problem that you have is that there is no monitoring of the cameras, which becomes a futile exercise. Even if there is a crime that took place, you'll find that even the owner of the camera does not know when last did they check whether the camera is working. We're saying...
General, you actually have long exhausted your time. I can now give you only 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's in the surveillance, and then I'll skip the 25. You can skip 25. Now, in terms of the solution, skip the 20. In terms of trying to see the solution, I think a sustainable policing strategy needs to be based on the masses. You need to be in a position to mobilize the masses to work with you. It needs to be owned and co-owned. These are the lives that we touched in terms of dealing with the work that we do, and they're active partners in the strategy of dealing with crime in the province. Now, in terms of the optimal use, I've already spoken to the sector policing, which vehicles that are there you can call. And I spoke to the issue of measurability. You can go straight to the next slide. In the next slide, Chair, one cannot complain. Go back once. Okay, sure. One cannot complain about the results that came out, which is a reflection that the reduction of crime in all categories of crime in 2010-2011 is as a result of the strategy that has been implemented. When you compare ourselves with what we achieved to what has been set out by government in terms of what the police is supposed to be achieving, one cannot complain. Can we go to the last slide? And what we're saying, Chair, is that, our strategy, which is a five-year strategy, is divided into three terms, short-term, medium-term, and long-term. But what we're doing in the medium-term, what was done in short-term should be sustained throughout the process. And we're actually now aimed at looking at the long-term. And if we look at the results that are there, one actually sleeps at night, Chair, to say it's comforting to see that even this financial year that we're in, we will still be recording the crime coming down in Gauteng, which is an indication that the strategy is working. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Provincial Commissioner. Provincial Commissioner, that is presented. I just want to go to members and find out if you have questions that you want to ask. Honorable Colonel, Honorable Hobby, Honorable Greg, Honorable Soho, Honorable.
Sorry, Chairperson, I thought he was first. Okay. I can't say lady first and that went up. Chairperson, thank you. Now, what I want to say, Chairperson, is the next. I think that the committee should compile a format in which way the different police commissioners can report to this portfolio committee. Because some, for instance, give certain statistics, Some, for instance, give certain detection rates, others don't give it. And my plea will that from the committee side, that we have a specific standard. And in that sense, we will also be able to get a better comparison between different provinces of what is happening in that province as far as crime prevention is concerned. That's first. Secondly, I want to ask General Petros from Gauteng. Chairperson, okay, I know that Gauteng is, although it's a small area, they have quite a lot of people there and international and all that sort of thing. But Chairperson, too often I get complaints from members from the police services that there are no vehicles available. And I mean that also in other provinces, but specific in Gauteng. And you know, it's quite embarrassing if you see in some newspapers where police members use police vehicles to do shopping at shopping malls. As far as I'm concerned, that is really a big concern because it's visible to the public and they say, but now we can understand why crime is in Gauteng what it is. What is the commissioner specifically doing as far as that is concerned? There are many other questions, but that is for me quite important. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Chairperson. And let me thank the House representative. Chairperson, my question again is not directed to any province or any provincial commissioner, but to all the commissioners who are here. I would request that the commissioners share with us the criteria or the criterion that they used in during the they call them the RDP promotion. RDP promotions, that was the terminology that was used in one province. But there were these three promotions where there was a promotion. They were promoted from the rank of a captain, not sure, to lieutenant or whatever. The only criterion that I know that was used was that that we're told of was that a person must have been in the service for more than 10 years. But then I would like to know which other criteria were being used.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I have requested the same.
I'll grant you permission.
Thank you very much. In fact, I was just, Madam Chair, going to make one comment which I whispered to you. It would be, which my colleague behind me also mentioned, it would be good, I don't know if there are people from head office yet, if there could be one format of reporting by the police. So I observed the report of Mpumalanga. I don't know whether they the chairperson copied them and said this is not your report. But the report was giving you everything so that it does not give anything. And I was just wondering whether it is not possible to have one format of reporting. So it's different. If you look at the report this afternoon, they're completely different from the report in the morning session. I don't know whether probably, I can't say they improved. They could have improved in this short period. But most of them covered everything what we wanted, especially in Mpumalanga. That's the only comment I wanted to make, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
It's just a comment. It's just like a comment. It's just a comment. However, we have, as the portfolio committee, discouraged the situation where provincial commissioners sit together and then prepare for the meeting. Because that is what they did in the past, and we said, no, it cannot be, because their situations are not the same. There will be things like, for instance, when we write a letter to the National Commissioner to say we invite you for it, so we then inform the National Commissioner as to what it is that we expect in the presentation. However, we also give them leeway to include that which they think it is important for the Portfolio Committee to know. So I'm just saying that because in the past when they brought the presentations that were like, you know, it's population and then like this one presentation, we said, but it's really not correct because it's not talking through the situations that definitely are not the same. So I think they might find it difficult now as to what it is that they must do because the Portfolio Committee said this and we complied. Now they are saying something else. They're actually telling us this. So I'm just mentioning it to say, yes, when we write a letter to the National Commissioner, we say we're inviting you to this meeting. This is what we're expecting you to present. However, we are free to add that information which you think is going to assist the Portfolio Committee to understand so that it's not just
No, thanks, Chair. Just the first comment I wanted to make is that it relates to the earlier presentations this morning as well, but also to this afternoon. There's been a number of areas mentioned about detectives, but I haven't seen too much said about the training of detectives, and not much telling us whether detectives in their provinces are trained. And one of the things that we continuously find when we actually visit police stations itself is the number of detectives that have received no training whatsoever. And I'm just worried that this hasn't come up and hasn't been raised and mentioned to us as to what progress there has been. So I think it would be helpful, Chair, if we could get from the various provincial commissioners something in writing that tells us what progress has been made to ensure that at all stations, detectives are trained, and if they're not, what is the plan and how long is it going to take? And in fact, I know that there's been, there were funds made available by the minister, I think it was for training of detectives last year. So it'd be interesting to know what progress provinces are making. Just one or two specific questions. In Mpumalanga, the provincial commissioner was saying, or the presentation actually says that they've got a shortage of vehicles or they've been impacted by the late delivery of vehicles. But in the same presentation, it actually talks about the high visibility of vehicles, that were made available during 2010. So I'm just wondering what's happened between 2010 and now. So they had sufficient vehicles in 2010. They were given vehicles because of the FIFA World Cup. But now they say their operations are being hampered because of the late delivery of vehicles. And I'm just trying to understand whether that means that between 2010 and now, we now have a shortage of vehicles. I don't quite understand that. In terms of KwaZulu-Natal, one of the things that I understand is that KwaZulu-Natal has one of the highest drug-related crime ratios in the country. That is according to some research given to us from Parliament. Now, if that's the case, your presentation didn't say too much about drugs. In fact, I only saw one sentence, but I may have missed something that you said. But I'd like to know, is that correct? And if it is correct, what steps is KZN taking to deal with it? And then just in terms of Gauteng, I mean, also according to the information we're given by Parliament's research unit, Gauteng has the highest ratios for a number of crimes. Attempted murder, common assault, robbery with aggravating circumstances, burglary at residential premises, driving under the influence of alcohol, and commercial crimes. And I think it would just be helpful if we could just understand what are the strategies that are being put in place by Gauteng to deal with those various crimes. Certainly as we go forward. And then just one comment in general, Chair. is that I'd want to just make around the issue of vehicles. And it relates particularly, I think, to the national office. But we never really get given proper information about vehicles. We get given a budget, but you don't get a, we don't get a breakdown of what vehicles are going to which province in that particular financial year and when they'll actually be delivered. And I think we need a bit more detailed information on this. We need to be told, you know, the budget is X amount of vehicles for this coming financial year. These are the number of vehicles that are going to each province. I think we even need to be told what type of vehicles are going to each province. And I think we also need to be told in which quarter. There are four financial quarters in a financial year, and we need to understand and know in which quarter those vehicles are going. Because one of the things I think we're starting to pick up now is that there seems to be a lot of vehicles that suddenly arrive at the end of the financial year and not spread throughout the year. And I think the national office is to help us with that, because it's one of the ways in which we can keep tabs on what's actually happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. To the Provincial Commissioner of Mpumalanga. When we visited Mpumalanga some few months, I mean last year, things were not right at Mayflower. Can we be given an indication of how the situation is? Has it improved or what? To the Provincial Commissioner of Limpopo. At Sikukuni, we were told by the community, in addition to what we saw, the community members also told us about the vehicles that are not suitable for the terrain. What are your plans in addressing that? And there is this also this warranting of the ADR that is being manned by admin clerk. Has the situation improved? Because according to me, it must be monitored by a commander who must know exactly where his vehicle so and so. Has it improved? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will talk about corruption, Chairperson. I wonder if provincial commissioners can help us. It seems as if there is a trend of corruption, corrupt officials. I heard Mpumalanga talking about it. I heard a tribalism promotion, that's another corruption in Limpopo. Well, it's the same thing which affects KwaZulu-Natal again, or violence within the conflict within the taxi industries and so on, which will involve the officials. I'm talking about corruption. How far this thing is gone? How far that this thing has affected the police? That's the first question. The second question, Chairperson, I think I will follow what Sriman has said. There is this side which says there's a visibility of cars, on this other side there is no cars, there is no vehicles and so on. Now you don't balance it correctly, and we're getting lost somewhere in the middle, because we don't know now where are those vehicles, were they shipped back or whatever. What has happened to them? The third question, Jefferson, is the vacancy rate, that is, especially in Limpopo. If there are 279 vacancy rate, and on the other paragraph, you say there is an insufficient allocation of current posts on the operation level, that means, therefore, you are working with a skeleton system. What is really happening? Because that's where the problem lies. The last question, Jefferson, is a conflict of the taxi industry, specifically in KwaZulu-Natal, the way other areas were, the taxi ranks have to be closed because of the conflict. How far that problem has been solved? How many of the officials were involved? Because that in itself will tell you that you are building and trying to solve the problem, or the problem is within the police itself. Thank you, Chairman.
No, thank you very much. Gauteng is reporting that they arrested 625 staff members. What about other problems? How many have you arrested staff members that are working with criminals or involved in crime? How many have you arrested? We will request that all provinces at least tell us as the portfolio committee as to whether the strategies, your turnaround strategies for other provinces that you are implementing, as you evaluate to assess its effectiveness, do you think that it is working or they are working? And what must we expect after the end of this financial year? And we are really not trying to put pressure on you, however, we're talking about crime. And whether we like it or not, we definitely want crime to go down. We are going to allow Northern Cape first to respond, followed by Eastern Cape, to questions that were posed to them, and then of course Mpumalanga, Limpopo, KZN, and Gauteng. And really, we will give each one of you 5 minutes. If within 5 minutes you are not able to respond to all the questions asked, we'll then request that you respond in writing and we'll give you time frame for this. We have General Decock. There was a question that was asked in the morning directed to you. Can we therefore allow you to speak and then go to another team?
Honorable Chair and members, I have to respond on the issue of crime statistics and the use of ratios versus the use of raw figures. Now, in the annual report, this annual report of the specific year which is under discussion today and which the PCs have presented on, we use both raw figures as well as ratios. If I can refer to a specific table, table 1, on page 3 and page 4 of the annexure of this report, in that we will find both, on all the serious crime, we will find raw figures as well as ratios. That is per capita figures, crimes per 100,000 of the population. And the reason, for many, many years in this annual report, we only use ratios, because internationally and amongst criminologists and analysts, we always use ratios, per capita figures, to compare over time. But after there were many, many debates here and in other forums, and people were saying that we are hiding something, we decided to put both in this report. Also on the police website, you will find for the provinces, for states, well, not for stations. For stations, you will only find raw figures, because there we don't have population figures. Now, ratios is actually the correct way of comparing over time. And maybe that is what should have been used even in the presentations today. Because ratios equalize population growth. It cuts out population growth. So if there's a 1% increase in population or a 2%, then that is then deducted actually. That's actually what it boils down to. So if we look, we will see murder, for example, on this page 3. Murder, the decline in murder based on ratios is -6.5. If we go to raw figures, it's a little bit less. It's -5.3. And so we can continue. Attempted murder, -12.2%.
Just for clarity, on what page are you now?
I'm on page 3 of the annual report. That's page 3 of the annexure.
The
annexure A, crime situation in South Africa. So if you go right to the back of the honourable member goes right back to the end of this report and goes to page 1, 2, 3. On page 3 and 4, there's the combined table where we have ratios and raw figures. Now, if we go down the list and we look at all of them, we will find when there's a decrease, you will find plus minus a difference of 1.something%. When there's an increase, those crimes where we had to increase, like drugs, if we go to page 4, we will find there that drugs, based on the ratios, there's an increase of 10.2% in that year, and then based on the raw figures, it's a bigger increase of 11.7%. So there it's turned around a little bit when you get the increase. Now, I also have with me what I call the green pages. My people know that this is the green pages. This is when we draw the stats from the system, from the cash. We put it on this pages, and this forms the basis of this report, of the crime figures in this report. And here I've got the individual tables, as it is also on the police website, for each province. I've got, for example, Mpumalanga here, and if I look between the raw figures and the ratios for Mpumalanga on all of these crimes, the difference is actually a little bit smaller than when we talk about the country. In some provinces, it will be a little bit bigger. In some, it depends on your population growth, according to Statistics South Africa, in each of these provinces. So it is international practice to use ratios, but we have decided, because of the controversy that is there on crime stats for the last 16 years that I'm working with it, we have decided to publish both raw figures and ratios, and people can then use whatever they think is more appropriate. But scientifically, ratios is more appropriate. Then, I think there was also a remark, which I think I can agree fully with, by honorable members, that when it comes to percentage increase, decrease, based either on raw figures, especially when it is on raw figures, or on ratios, one has to be very careful. When the figures are very small, on crimes like, for example, bank robbery, CITs, or we go to the Northern Cape and we talk about carjackings, which is virtually non-existent in the Northern Cape, then one has to be very careful to compare, to work out percentages. That is why in this report, again, on in the very same annexure, when we go to page 31, for example, carjacking, robbery at residential premises, and on the next page 32, robbery at non-residential premises, but especially on page 31, we will find that when it comes to the Northern Cape, you will just find a asterisk and a sign there, which actually indicate that we say in the Northern Cape, in carjacking, there was only an increase of one carjacking. And on house robbery, there was a decrease, actually, of 23 cases. Because those are figures, the rule of thumb is usually that you use, when it's less than 100 cases, you don't present it as a percentage increase or decrease between you in your comparison. Only above 100, you go to a percentage. That's the rule of thumb that we use. I hope that will make it clearer, but I must also just emphasize that the figures in this report This is the official report tabled to Parliament and to all structures of Parliament, signed by the National Commission, and signed by the Minister and the Deputy Ministers, and this is the correct figures.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I hear what you said, and I agree. Mathematically, statistically, I hear everything. Yes, for 100,000 population, it's in the international standards and everything like that. But when I come back to these figures, for instance, if the provincial commissioner says, yeah, but there was no increase or decrease in the murder rate, it is exactly the same. How is it possible then? Even if you apply then the formula and the ratio per 100,000, I mean, population grow over a period of a year, that is true. World population more than 7 billion now. But I don't think there was an explosion in South Africa that the population growth was of such extent that we can have in the national statistics to say there was an increase of 6.7% or 7.6, what is it? Let me quickly put on my glasses. 7.9%. But the provincial statistics given here today says there was no increase in the raw figures, because the raw figures is the basis. Whether you make a ratio or not, that's the basis. So that doesn't explain that anomaly. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, on the specific case, I must say, when it was presented, I couldn't follow quickly enough, or I couldn't get this file of the provinces, which is actually also on the website, but which we don't have yet, unfortunately. I will look at the individual case. I think what I will do is I'll get some of those reports, and then we'll have to see, look at, compare it with the figures that we have. The figures which were also distributed in September last year when these stats were released. This was also, again, although it was on the systems, but it was again given back to the provinces. And that is the figures that should have been used today. I'm certain most of it is correct, but there may be, we will have to look at that.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry to labor this issue, but are we in agreement that the figures given here today from the provinces doesn't make sense? There can be a difference, yes, but not that big difference. Even if you apply the ratio. I mean, the murder is one, but let's take, for instance, Northwest, assaults with the intent to inflict a grievous bodily harm. The provincial statistics say, on the raw figure, there was a decline of 3%, a decrease. According to the national statistics, it says it's 4.3% increase. That doesn't make sense. I know that one on one is two. In politics, sometimes one on one is three, but not in mathematics. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, can I just, if I can get a repeat, I have the Northwest now in front of me. I've got the raw figures, I've got the ratios. So maybe we should just look at that specific example, and then I can say it's correct or not correct.
The specific example is absolute.
Assault GBH. Okay, in Assault GBH here, I've got the raw figures. The raw figures is a decrease in Assault GBH of minus 3.3%. And in the ratios, the Assault GBH figure went down with 4.3. So it's a 3.3, minus 3.3. I'm sorry, a minus 3.3. And there's an increase of 4.3 in the ratios.
Can you just repeat that?
In the raw figures, there was a decrease of 3.3. In the ratios, there was an increase of 4.3. Assault GBH. Yeah.
J, deficit is the increase
in the ratio,
the ratio on the provincial statistics, but we don't see it there.
You won't see it there because that's the Northwest presentation.
So do I understand it correctly, Chairperson? This is very important, Chairperson. Do I then understand that despite the fact that the raw figures, the physical counts were less, it was less, the 3.3%, it was less. So how is it then possible? I know the Northwest. In fact, the population in the Northwest is decreasing. They're all going to Gauteng, to General Petros. If you apply that formula, it cannot increase. It's not possible.
I want to say on this one, it would have made sense if provincial commissioners had reported according to what we have all agreed upon on the basis of ratios, because this is what we focus on and this is what we prepared the documents, our documents, based on. You know, even if I would imagine that they will definitely want to go for these percentages, because if you actually check the figures themselves, 2009 it was 14,556, and 2010 it was 14,082. So it will actually feel good for the provincial commissioner to report that decrease, even if it is a small decrease. However, we have agreed that it will be per capita, that is 100,000 people of the population, and I think it assists us. Good as they will also have to include those raw figures. It makes a lot of sense, because we work our report and anything that we prepare on the basis of the information that was agreed upon by all of us. We will definitely take note of the fact that 839703 indicates a decrease. However, in terms of population now, 100,000 people, what is it doing to that figure? And I think that is what we're interested in. We're moving on to Northern Cape. 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. As far as the question pertaining to the inspectorate and the portfolio committee activities at the stations is concerned, we have established provincial task teams to go to stations and provide on-the-job training. For example, the SAP 13 stores, and they've been assisted as to how to salt, label, and take care of exhibits. Destruction of firearms, we have destructed 1,386 and in the process of 1,982 to be destructed. It's also centralized in the province, and the destruction takes place in Kimberley. Detectives, we also see the team who specifically check dockets, and we specifically focus on non-outstanding dockets and the quality of investigation. Workshops to station commanders and cluster commanders on the cluster commander templates in relation to the daily activities and all monthly activities and the quantities they are to be rendered have been provided in September 2011. As far as station commanders, the station management learning program of the 91 station commanders in the province, 81 have been trained on that program. Detective commanders, we've also trained 31 this current financial year on the detective commanders program. With regards to the detectives, we currently have 802 detectives in the province. For the financial year 2010-11, 486 of those individual members have been exposed to training, ranging from basic investigation calls, 203 members attended that, 135 resolving of crime calls, 144 members attended specialized training interventions, for instance, 14 members from Family Child Protection Unit, Stock Theft Unit have been trained and commanded also. Then 4 short interventions have been rendered. Detective trainees still do complete with their supervisors, being the relief commanders, whilst undergoing training, their portfolio of evidence. In regard to the redeployment of detectives in the Northern Cape province, we've redeployed 13 detectives. I don't have the ages. I will submit that to you, Madam Chief. But in regard to the rank levels, one colonel, four captains, four warrant officers, one sergeant, and three constables have been redeployed to the detective services. As far as the improvement of the detective and investigation, we've established two forensic crime scene management task teams, one at Kimberley and one at Uppington. In relation to the registered informants, we currently have 1,166 informants, and the successes in relation to information received pertain specifically to robbery and murder. In relation to stock theft, we have received a letter individually addressed to me as the Provincial Commissioner in regard to the allocation on the 7th of September, dated the 7th of September from the National Office, 7th September 2011. And the amount was 3,513,634 rand. That money has been used to the amount of 2.9 million. And we are left with 547,000 rand. In regard to rural safety, Madam Chair, we've improved the relations with the Department of Agriculture, AgriForum, and Farm Workers Union, and we increased patrols. We have also resourced them. They have got 85 police outposts in terms of the rank allocated, and the current establishment is at 85 members. In as far as the rank allocation for Public Service Act members to the Stock Theft Units, it's 21, and there's currently 12 members, so there's a discrepancy of 9. We are also in the process of establishing 3 new Stock Theft Units at Springbok, Kuruman, and Calcinia. Existing former units was the R. Portsmouth, Uppington, and Kimberley. In regard to motorcycles, we've also identified 33 members of the Stock Theft Unit to be trained because we would like to increase patrols in the rural areas. With regard to their training, we've also trained 32 members in the basic Stock Theft course. We've also identified 5 of those 7 unit commanders to be trained in the commander's course, detective commander's course. In as far as pounds, we only have 1 pound at Uppington and 1 pound at Kuruman respectively, and we're engaging SALGA in the establishment of pounds in the other areas. With regard to the management of sick leave, we've monitored and we've identified 3 small and 1 medium station where there's an above average absenteeism rank in the province, and we are attending to that. We are also looking at possible ill-health retirement of members identified and to alternative placement. And then we also send out the provincial directive to further step up on the management specifically of sick leave without the certificate, doctor's certificate being rendered. Madam Chair, in regard to the vehicles audit for the financial year, the current financial year, we've ordered 196 vehicles, of which 166 have been delivered to date. So we have a deficit there of 30 that must still be delivered. The police population ratio was mentioned in the first slide. It is 1 to 203 members of the population. And as at the end of December 2011, according to the approved rank, the province has actually been overstaffed by 326 members, which give us that positive rank in terms of the police population rank. Regarding the strategies, Madam Chair, it's done with police members and resources as well as all our sister departments, both in the JPPS cluster as well as the social cluster. CPS just leaders, and it is really community-based and oriented, and we trust that with the improved working relationships and in the province that the strategies will be the design group. Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry, I forgot maybe the corruption, which was now added. I just reflected on the ones raised prior to the lunch break. In regard to corruption, Madam Chair, we've got for the respective financial year, 2019, there were 20 cases reported, 20 members have been charged, 19 found guilty, 1 found not guilty, 4 dismissed. In 2010-11, cases reported were 55, members charged was 55. 38 found guilty, 5 not guilty, and dismissal 15, and others are still pending, have not been finalized. And then 2011-2012, cases reported 21, members charged 19, 11 found guilty, 6 not guilty, cases pending 4, and dismissals are 8 thus far. The amount involved for the respective years was 718,000 rand for the first year, 77,485 the second year, and 82,400 for the current financial year. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. Regarding the cases that you're referring to, are you talking about cases of misconduct that are dealt with internally, or are you talking about criminal cases that are reported to courts?
Madam Chair, it relates to both. In this instance, what I reflected on was the results of the disciplinary cases, but at the same time, it also refers to the criminal cases, and in most instances, the criminal cases are still pending and being investigated. I can provide that information to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and other members of the committee. I'll talk to the issue of stock theft. Eastern Cape is one of the provinces that was identified initially as to be having a problem in regard to stock theft. And as a result of that, we did receive money during the course of this financial year. Honorable Chair, we received 12.5 million. 9 million was meant for detectives, specifically for stock theft, building capacity for stock theft. But in particular, there was an area that was identified in the Eastern Cape, which is Solo area. We've utilized the whole 9 million for vehicles, for building infrastructure, and for vehicles, and also for quad bikes, for investigators, for stock theft. And I must say, in terms of conducting operations to prevent and investigate stock theft, we are winning the war against stock theft. And in terms of the other money that was allocated for VidPol, this money was specifically meant to be utilized by this for crime for prevention of stock theft. And we have also used this money to purchase quad bikes and also to for creating awareness around the issues of stock theft. In terms of stock theft units in the other areas, we have honorable chairperson, we are also focusing in the area of Maluti, which is the area that is bordering with Lesotho. We have got teams that are actually operating in that area to detect stock thieves who are actually operating along the borders of Lesotho and Maluti area. And mainly, we are utilizing crime intelligence teams. In terms of detective capacity, the total granted for our province is 3,444. Our shortage currently is 324. We have managed to return from other environments 81 members back to the detectives, and we are continuously working on the recruitment of additional detectives from other environments, specifically the young ones. So in terms of training for the detectives, we are continuously exposing our investigators to detective learning programs. The total number of members not yet exposed to detective related courses is 369 out of 3,444 detectives. In terms of rural safety, Honorable Chair, we are focusing on rural safety in terms of creating awareness around issues pertaining to stock theft, pertaining to crimes against women and children. We are conducting interviews mostly in the rural areas, involving other stakeholders. Sector policing is also functioning in the rural areas and also in towns, like I reported earlier on. There was a question pertaining to what I was trying to explain in relation.
You are actually saying sector policing is working. Really?
Yes.
In rural areas in particular.
Yes.
It really works. Because the very first station we'll go to, you know, it's just a little bit not an according. Because we could actually just go to the nearest police station. The very first police station that you're going to go to, they will tell you that they're not able to implement sector policing because of shortage of resources. In particular, in the rural area. And really, I'm asking this question because we have got to include some of the things that you are saying in our, and we'll be engaging the department just a few weeks to come, the Department of State. These are the issues. And we actually could be contradicting you. I'm saying this because the very first police station we'll go to here, the Eastern Cape, believe you me, in the rural areas in particular, they will not be able to implement sector policing because first, the areas are vast. Second, the police members are few. Third, the vehicles are not enough. Fourth, those vehicles that are there are not suitable for the terrain. That is what they're going to tell us. And we sitting here listening to you. You know the difference between yourself and the national management. We believe that it should be that you're telling us about your day-to-day problem. So that when we meet the national management, we are able to say, but these are the day-to-day problems that provinces are experiencing. But if our report is supposed to say, because that report that we are going to compile after this meeting, it's going to be adopted by ourselves. We'll go to the national office and they will say, well, what is the portfolio committee saying? Because our own people that are there on the ground are saying, I am saying the very first police station that you will go to, I can tell you, I know for a fact. The first thing they're going to say is that the vehicles are not suitable for the terrain. That's what they are saying everywhere we go. And that is why when the national management sits here, we say, why are you doing it? Why are you buying Nissan for police stations and for provinces? Because they are damaged very soon and very quick. Now, we actually might be contradicting yourself. And that is why we really are happy to have you here, so that we get it from yourself. But I understand the fact that these meetings are open, and probably that might be creating problems. I'm just saying the very first. I'm talking about police stations that are in urban areas in the Western Cape, in Gauteng. I'm not talking about your Limpopo because those are rural provinces, and therefore the problems are the same. And provincial commissioners are given these vehicles. They don't know what to do. They will take them because in any event, even if they say we did not order this, those are the vehicles that are given to them. And we've been saying to the national management, why are you giving them vehicles that are not suitable for the terrain? Why are you giving them sedans? Why are you buying vehicles that get damaged quick? And I'm just saying that because I'm really listening carefully and I'm worried that you're giving us an ideal situation. The fact of the matter is that you're getting your vehicles now. The financial year started in March. And it could be that because of the dumping of fiscal, the year is towards the end, and therefore they are buying in bulk, and so on and so forth. And we're fighting with the department on this issue. But we probably want to hear even it from yourself to say this is the reality. Are you getting all your vehicles every year? Because according to the department, they are using 100% of their budget. But when you go to provinces, if their services are not receiving all their vehicles each year, this is a contradiction. We can only rely on the information that we get. Because the department must explain to us why it is not having rollovers if indeed it is not able to purchase all vehicles for provinces. Why they send them to that money allocated for vehicles? Even if they purchase those vehicles, but if you have ordered Suzanne and you're getting Nissan will probably be cheaper than
but it's still the same number. What happens to the change? I'm just asking this question, you know, using the very, you know, layman's language. What happens to that? Because there's no rollover from the department. No, we really are not interested in the ideal situation. We're interested in the reality that will enable you to function. Otherwise, at the end of the day, it's the provincial commissioner that is inefficient, that is ineffective, that must be seen not to be failing to do his or her work. And that's the issue that you're raising. So continue, but I'm just giving you a minute because I think I'm taking your time.
Chair, in addition, please. Yes, I am saying maybe the provincial commissioner must detail to us what is she referring to when she says all sectors are working. Maybe she's referring to the one, maybe three out of 100. Maybe she must tell us what does she mean, because that statement is sweeping and loaded. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll talk to the issue of vehicles. I'm talking for Eastern Cape. In terms of the vehicles, yes, it's true. We are not always getting the vehicles, the type of vehicles that we ordered. But of course, that depends on the amount of vehicles that the manufacturers could deliver to us. And as such, we take what was that has been delivered to us. But in terms of implementing sector policy, we try our best to do what we are required to do. Yes, not all sectors might be functioning the way they are supposed to, but we are trying our best. That is what I was trying to explain here. But in terms of vehicles that we ordered for this year, Eastern Cape ordered 571 vehicles, and we are still awaiting delivery of 178 vehicles. Yes, in Eastern Cape we had problems with the Nissan vehicles and other type of vehicles that were delivered. And these Nissans, most of the time, they spend a lot of time in the garage. They're not durable for our roads. Specifically in Eastern Cape, the roads are bad. And time and again, they come back to the garages. But we try to address the situation by ordering more and more 4x4s, specifically from Toyota, which is vehicles that are durable. And then in terms of the tavern, I mentioned earlier on that we had a problem with taverns. I just want to cite one example. In Kwazakhele alone, we have got 143 legalized taverns and 242 other shops. And then what I was trying to explain in regards to people not understanding the cause of the law was that sometimes they don't understand some members of the community, the whole cause of the law, how does a person get paid? And we involve justice, magistrate, and prosecution to explain these issues. And they are really helping us in terms of ensuring that mob justice killings are reduced. In terms of Police Day, we were allocated 1.2, and we utilized the whole 1.2. And our main focus was on sport and wellness and motivating members. And members really gave us feedback to say they enjoyed the day more and more. In terms of the number of members that were arrested for corruption and charged, for last year, 40 members were charged, 21 were found guilty, 9 were found not guilty, 7 cases were withdrawn, 3 were dismissed, and for this year, 16 members already have been charged for corruption, 4 found guilty, 7 not found guilty. There are still 5 cases that have been no dismissal.
Your turnaround strategy, ma'am, is working?
Our turnaround strategy is a working chair. Specifically, I will mention the issue of the garages, because we had a problem with our garages. They were not functioning well. We as part of our turnaround strategy, we redeployed supervisors back into the workshops to ensure that there's close supervision in the workshops. And also, we brought in AutoZone people. They've got their stalls in our workshops to ensure that the issues pertaining to shortage and delay of parts for the vehicles are addressed. And we only have a problem in the Humewood mechanical garage. It's a management problem, but we are addressing it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Bomalanga.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Responding to the first question with regard to what criteria was used for the promotion of lieutenants and majors, I don't think any provincial commissioner will be in a position to answer the question, because the list was generated by the head office. We only got the name list from them. I don't think any provincial commissioner would be in a position to say what criteria was used for the free promotion of those members from lieutenant, from warrant officer to lieutenant, and from captain to major, because we got the list already given to the provinces of promoted people from by the head office. Responding to the high visibility during 2010 of the vehicles and the late delivery of the vehicles, yes, indeed, I did mention that during 2010 we had high visibility, which led us to which contributed to the reduction of crime. Why I mentioned the late delivery of the vehicles, because we needed to sustain the reduction. That is why I brought it in as hampering in terms of sustaining the high visibility. And of course, if you receive vehicles in drips and drabs, it will never make an impact when you're getting your vehicles almost at the same time, because where you're supposed to give one vehicle to a station, you can give them four. So it will make more impact if you get them almost at the same time. With regard to Mayflower police station, we have made progress in implementation of all the and in addressing all the shortcomings that were identified in Mayflower. That comes to the shortage of personnel, and the filling of those vacant posts, the vehicles, as well as the renovation of the church office. I think the progress that has made so far is visible. With regard to corruption, I think the question how deeply rooted is corruption is a difficult question. But I must say, in the province, during the financial year 2010-2011, we arrested 150 police officials for criminal cases, not misconduct, ranging from different crimes, like transporting data with police vans, etc.
Could you just confirm for me that those members have all been dismissed and arrested and are in court, or have you retained them in the staff?
Most of the cases are still pending in court, but disciplinary, most of the members have been dismissed.
Are you done? Okay.
Chairperson, starting with the question regarding the vehicle for school, they have been issued with 9 vehicles. Two of them are the 4x4s. They include number of parts, because with the other vehicles you cannot operate them. Including the combi also, as well as the sedan. There is one sedan that is issued. And some of the buses may not be so much suitable to to the area, Chairperson, because the area itself, I think it requires a lot of 4x4s. And in terms of the budget that is allocated, you may not be able to buy a lot of 4x4s. And that is why we were, in our presentation, we made mention of the issue of the budget that needs to be discussed. And then in terms of the AVL, the AVL is now being monitored by the operational personnel in the CSC, and as well as the station commanders now in the province. All of them will have to undergo training in order that they can be able to monitor the AVL. Then there was a question about the tribalism promotion, or the effect of tribalism that impacts on promotion. Obviously, the impact thereof, Chairperson, would be some of the members would really be demotivated, because some of them are committed. And if it is based issue having better qualifications, but you are not promoted, somewhere you will be demotivated. So that's the impact it has, the demotivation. And then regarding corruption in the province, already 56 members in terms of corruption have been arrested. And then the turnaround strategy for us in the province is a problem. Earlier I alluded to the issue of long distances. There are, for instance, in Tanin, people have got to travel 170 kilometers to reach a garage just to service the vehicle. So for us, it's not so much effective. It's still a concern. We are going to look into it. Then the rural safety strategy, it is working, but to a certain extent, but we're having also some of the farmers that belong to these agricultural organizations and are not participating. For instance, like in a place like Good Spring, they've got huge farms and they are not participating, and as a result thereof, they become easy targets of this rhino poaching as well as stock theft. So, but it is working to a certain extent. Then in terms of the stock theft units, yes, we're having a number of them. It's about 8 of the stock theft units that we have, and about 6 satellites. 7.4 million was allocated to them. But Chairperson, it may not be a special project like the one of Free State. In other words, it's a normal budget that is allocated the financial year for the stock theft unit. I think the one of Free State was different because the project handled at national level. That's where the difference comes from. Thank you very much, sir.
Turnaround strategy.
I will give some responses. The ones that I might have omitted, I'll do the same by team. Maybe starting with the stock theft to indicate that in KwaZulu-Natal we have 16 units of the stock theft, which are based in various places, including some of the towns as well as the rural areas. Maybe Chairperson, just to further indicate that in certain areas, particularly Ladysmith, Freigate, as well as Newcastle, we have adopted an approach of actually engaging OD in terms of a feasibility study. The reason being that we want to move, that is to open satellite stations in the rural areas. We have looked into the spread of the stock theft within the province, and one of the other things that we have realized is that the stock theft is also spread within the rural areas, hence we are engaging in the process of actually having some satellite stations in these rural areas. Although we are facing a situation whereby some of our members, there is a little bit of a resistance to move to these areas, but that is a work in progress and something that we are working on, including labor and the other departments. Maybe Chairperson, to further indicate that we have very good relations with the Agri-Forum, particularly in the very same areas, that is your Utrecht, your Freiheit, as well as the Ladysmith. This working relations, Chairperson, that we're having does not go on without challenges, because as one will understand that stock theft actually is a priority, particularly to the farmers, whether it's for communal farming, whether it's for commercial farming, they will always raise some concern. And Chairperson, what I'm trying to say is that we're trying to address their concerns to our best ability through the availability of the members through the stock theft. As to the issue of the vehicles, the Chairperson, in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, in this financial year, we were allocated 767 vehicles. We have received 599, which means we still have about 168 vehicles that we still have to receive. As to the issue of the exhibit,
that you received, ma'am, did you get them at the same time? Or?
No, it was through Facebook. Chair, as for the issue of the exhibits, we are managing the exhibits in terms of the prescripts, that is the policies within the South African police, that is, as indicated earlier by General Lamour. I will not go deeper so that one is able to look into the other issues. Chair, we want to admit that for the province of KwaZulu-Natal to be able to deal with, to fight crime effectively and efficiently, so we need to improve on the recruitment strategy of the detectives. I want to mention, Chairperson, that for the previous financial year, we have managed to recruit back more than 70 detectives, and in this financial year and the next financial year, we will be engaging on a strategy of recruiting more detectives, but not necessarily only the recruiting, as it has been alluded to by the House, that we need to be focusing on also on the training of the detectives. I have to admit, Chairperson, that when we look into the performance of the detectives, particularly in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, what has been a challenge has been that there has been a limited training on the detectives. Hence, the production has not been to the request that are. So therefore, one would want to admit the challenges that are there within the detectives, and that we will make that a priority. Chairperson, as to the issue whether the post that we are dealing with at the provinces, whether are they funded or vacant, one will want to indicate, Chairperson, that the posts that are identified within the provinces, particularly in KZN, will then be funded posts which will then have to be sent to head office to be authorized before they are being advertised. As for sector policing, Chairperson, I want to agree to the previous sentiments that has been shared to say that, yes, we do have not 100% implementation of sector policing, the reasons being there of the challenges as far as the resources, both physical as well as the human resource. Chairperson, maybe coming from the province of KwaZulu-Natal, which is actually divided into suburbs as well as cities, rural areas, semi-rural and deep rural. The concept of sector policing, I want to say, Chairperson, it's not implemented as it's supposed to be. So I'm saying this in advance so that, Chairperson, when you come to my province, I cannot be accused of lying to this House of saying that it is working 100%. Chairperson, on the issues of the corruption that was mentioned by Honorable Member Kola Barnard, whether we are proactive and reactive, I want to, particularly in relation to the issues that has been reported recently to Etiwini Municipality, I want to say maybe for starters we need to appreciate the initiative that has been taken by the JCP, particularly the Minister for Justice, whereby there's been a rollout in terms of the proactive strategy on the sensitizing all the government employees on the anti-corruption. And I want to further indicate that, Chairperson, from the province of KwaZulu-Natal, we have a very effective DPCI or calls, HOCS or commercial units that are actually dealing with the corruption within the province, not only for the police officers, but for all the government departments. So maybe the response is that we have a very good working relations between the DPCI and the other JCPS cluster, that is particularly from the justice as far as corruption is concerned, and we are dealing with the cases, and we have been seeing some of the results, and we have been hearing some of the comments that has been made, particularly around the province of KwaZulu-Natal, as far as the issues of corruption are concerned. Madam, in terms of dealing with the issues of the, I think I've dealt with the appointment, the issue on, okay. No, thank you so much, Madam Chair. I will respond in writing the outstanding matters. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Firstly, I have two stock theft units in Gauteng, and they were allocated 2.9 million, which was used to buy the vehicles for the unit concerned. There are 1,564 vehicles that are ordered for this financial year. There's been 672 so far vehicles delivered. There are 892 vehicles that are outstanding. And Honorable Chair, one can attest to what you are saying in terms of what you order is not. The other problem of the outstanding 892 might be I was forced to be buying the Tata vehicles for the detectives, which I refused. And it took a little bit longer in terms of letter to and fro written between those that are supposed to procure the vehicles and the province. And there was a late order of those vehicles. The problem with this is that if you don't get the delivery in the financial year, it gets rolled over to the next financial year. And what that means, if you were supposed to pay the vehicles for 50 million this financial year, and it gets delivered in April, that 50 million comes off your budget for the next financial year, which becomes a problem. So this is a matter that has been addressed, and at some stage it's been the issue that even the National Commissioner has raised with the management of supply chain, that the RC57 that is a guide, is not necessarily an instruction in the department that they should actually be buying those vehicles, which becomes a problem. It is a problem that the issue of the delivery of vehicles to provinces is a serious problem. And I think, as Jaron Dobela is indicating, one other thing that is a problem, if you buy 500 vehicles, they get delivered at the same time. It means the disposal of those vehicles is going to be at the same time as well. And what you're going to be doing is that you'll be buying the vehicles and you're going to be replacing those vehicles in 3, 4, 5 years. We're generating close to 10,000 kilometers each vehicle per quarter, particularly for the sector vehicles, where the vehicles are driving around. So it is a problem, the issue. One other thing that compounds the problem with the vehicles is the garage, the maintenance of the police vehicles. I don't know where I come from here. It has never been a problem in the Western Cape. But when you go there, you find out even those that are contracted to be delivering on the repairs of vehicles, delay in the delivery of the vehicles. And even our own, the efficiency of our own garages, you need to be in a position. I'm learned that in the Eastern Cape, there's a strategy that is put in place. We are trying to do the same thing in Gauteng, seeing to engaging PEC with the private sector as to how do we go about in improving the efficiency of the garages in terms of the turnaround time. Because if the vehicles are in the garages more than outside, it will impact in terms of the vehicles that are needed to deal with crime on the ground. Answering the question on the vehicles at the mall, it's twofold. There's been attacks in the malls. I don't know, because at some stage we might have to find out and establish exactly whether those vehicles are there for what purpose. You'll find out in Gauteng at the malls there's a deployment of police vehicles because of the attacks that have been there. And the reduction in the of the attacks at the malls has been about the visibility of police in the malls. But I think it will be helpful as well is to engage the CPF at the police stations there in terms of, because there's a vibrant CPF movement in Gauteng, people that are actually challenging the issues if things are coming out. So if people have complaints, instead of complaining to the police that they're not going to do anything, to the provincial commission who's not going to do anything, sometimes it's better to complain to find out from the CPF as to what exactly is happening with the vehicles there, which is an issue that has been discussed extensively with them. One of the things, when we buy these vehicles in bulk, when we give the vehicles to the station, which is also trying to manage the problem, we don't give it to the station command, we give it to the CPF to say these are the vehicles that are supposed to be at the station. If you find these vehicles parked here, you have a reason to ask, why are the vehicles parked here? Because sometimes you will say people are saying there are no vehicles, but you find the yard full of vehicles, and the vehicles are not patrolling in the streets, and the people are in the station. I think it helps the management of the police if this problem is co-owned between us as and those that are receiving the services. If they complain, we're supposed to be seen to be acting on it. And of course, when I talked about the command and control index of sector managers, they're supposed to be ensuring that these vehicles are patrolling. And I've already declared up front, Honorable Chair, that ideally the vehicles that are supposed to be in sectors have cell phones. I do phone sometimes, from time to time, the sector phones that are supposed to be there. They ring in the police station instead of ringing in the van where they're supposed to be patrolling. But I think that's a matter that it's work in progress, that we need to be in a position to see to it, to start managing this thing. But each person that is supposed to be managing the process, which are sector managers that are appointed to look specifically that the vehicles are patrolling, are supposed to be saying that. But one other thing, that's a coronal measure in as far as this is concerned. When the murder happens in the street, somebody who's supposed to patrol the street has to account as to why did that matter happen, what is supposed to be the police that are patrolling the street, which we think is a control measure that is there. So we will be in a better position with time. I know it for a fact that some vehicles are not where they are supposed to be, but there are control measures that are put in place that there will be a recourse if anything happens on the basis of the person not being where the person is supposed to be. But that's an issue that many people complain, and we actually deal with the complaints. Another complaint that came was at the Maponya Mall. That's why I got to know that some of the vehicles that get deployed at the shopping complexes, people might think that the cops are there doing the shopping. The cops are there doing the job most of the time. Now, the other issue, I think, that was raised about the ratio that the
research... Sorry, Chairperson. Can I just ask the General, specifically as far as the detectives are concerned, in your mind, do they have enough vehicles? Because that is where the complaints are that the detectives say that sometimes they can't do their work because they don't have vehicles.
Honorable Chair, I think when I made the presentation here, I indicated they don't even, not only not having cars, even those that they have is 300,000. Detectives didn't have cars, they were not allocated. I think when I made the presentation, I said 60% of the vehicles that we bought now are going to the detectives, and they are actually receiving. I can agree with him in terms of that there is a serious shortage of vehicles. And one can also understand sometimes that the poor performance of the detectives in the province could actually be attributed to the fact that there's not in vehicles. And if it's needed in writing, I can give it in writing in terms of how many vehicles were bought and how many vehicles were given to the detectives this financial year. And these vehicles are coming and they're given to them. It is true. Other question, Honorable Chair, was the issue of the research unit of Parliament that is doing the ratio indicating the aggravated robberies in Gauteng. They are high. I'm sitting with two reports, the green paper of Dr. Tiko. Whichever way I want to look at this thing, the crime of Gauteng is coming down. I'm looking at the raw figures. It robbery aggravated in the year in review. If I look at the raw figures, the robbery aggravated were 47,289 in 2009-2010, and they reduced to 40,052, which is a 6,237 reduction in incidents that happened. But if I want to look at per ratio, it decreased from 449 per 100,000 to 357 per 100,000. And if you look at the ratios, 90,000 is a serious reduction. So one is actually wondering as to which ratio, if one can get this, maybe can be in a better position to explain, to be able to give answers specifically. Now, if I look at the subcategories of robbery aggravated,
Sorry, ma'am. Yes, I mean, the robbery with aggravating circumstances 2009-10 is minus 20.3.
it's minus 20.3 in percentage form, but in figures per 100,000, it moved from 449 per 100,000 to 357 per 100,000, which records the reduction of 20.3. Yes, but what I'm saying here is that the research unit is saying there's not seemingly according to. Yes, the question that I'm being asked as to what is it that I'm doing about it. So what I'm saying is that there's a reduction of 90 per 100,000, which is a serious reduction, which is an indication that the strategy is working. I don't know what more can a person do that. There was a strategy in place that is doing. And one person can say is that even in this financial year, even in this financial year, if I look at the results in the 9 months past,
just for clarity, I wasn't saying that there's no decrease, and I'm just saying that according to what we've been given, they have one of the highest ratios, all right. And I was simply asking the strategy going forward. I was not discounting the fact that there's been reduction and good work has been done. But I was referring to the fact that according to the information we have, it's one of the highest ratios in the country, some of these clients, and what's going forward. So I don't want it to be taken that I was saying that nothing's been done and that there hasn't been a reduction, because there has. But it still remains high.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think to answer that, what's being done, Chair, the strategy that I presented this morning, I think it's working for the province. And as I indicated, rightfully so, stopped in terms of saying where I'm sitting in monitoring what's happening every day. It's gradual reduction of that. As to where it will be in terms of what will be the acceptable ratio, one will actually will be looking forward to it in terms of the acceptable ratio. But at the end of the day, there is reduction in all the subcategories as you indicated. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Ngobeni, KZN, I'm told that you did not respond to the question that talked to some members that have been charged criminal activities or corruption or whatever. If you can just respond to that question.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe not giving the report in terms of all the criminal activities, but specifically alluding to corruption. For 2010-2011, we have arrested 20 members. Of the 20 members, 20 members, 18 of them, they were dismissed, and 3 of them, they were given a fine, and 1 of them was found not guilty. So that report is available here. The other report in terms of the current financial year, I don't have the exact figures, but that can be also be submitted.
Thank you very much. Is there anything that you want us to know, which you have not told? Anything that you think it is important for the portfolio committee to know, particularly because it will be engaging the national management, in particular on their budget for this financial year? Is there anything that you want them to know? Okay, nothing. Thank you very much.
Can we just have that one figure of the rest of staff members in KZN? We had from the other provinces. I was just interested in that number. Given in terms of the 2010-2011, the report that we have arrested the 20 members, of the 20 members, I've also given a breakdown here.
No, thank you very much. Thank you, members, and thank you, provincial commissioners, General Bicok, who I think is now
delegation from the national office. I think today we have shared information between the provincial commissioners and ourselves at the portfolio committee. I believe that we have facilitated as well the sharing of information between provincial commissioners themselves. We also have learned some good practices from yourself, and we do believe that through our engagement with you, we have learned something. As we said in the morning, we want to reiterate even now that huge resources are pumped and channeled to the Department of Health. For this year alone, the department has a budget of 58 billion. That is a lot of money as far as we are concerned. It has got to assist and enable SAP to perform its responsibilities. And as the portfolio committee, we definitely are expecting results. We have indeed raised issues around the hydro. We also believe that for SAP, if they are not vehicles, they will not be able to do their work. And therefore, vehicles are an important tool for such members. And in this regard, we definitely are going to take this matter up with the national management when they appear before the portfolio committee. We believe that the national management must be able to provide us with concrete answers. It cannot be business. For some of the things that you may have not said, as the portfolio committee were able to read in between lines, to say, even if you're not saying it, but you do have some challenges in this regard. Stock theft is one other crime that is affecting both rich and poor. And we believe that it impacts more on poor people. For some of the people, stock is their bank or banks. They use their cars to send their children to school, universities, and all. And for now, we are convinced that stock theft units are too few to save the people of South Africa. Feedback to complaints, or in fact to complainants, open cases, we know for a fact that it is extremely poor. We will be expecting improvement in this regard. We think that there is a need for a focused attention in this area of our work. We all agree that detective services need a lot of focus. It does not assist to arrest a person if that person will end up walking free on our streets because the cases or the case was not watertight. And we therefore are expecting that if the department was able to come up with an extensive training such as the one that is offered to TRT members, we believe that they must also be able to come up with an extensive training for detective services. We believe that this will definitely need some focus from the department. And we have said that we also, as the portfolio committee, will be focusing on this area of work. We are saying to the provincial commissioners, do not have mercy on members who are involved in crime. At Border Post, as you are complaining about foreign nationals that are flooding our area, but also we must remember that the situation there is horrible. Things are happening. And indeed, we have our members who are sub-members who are actually causing this problem. And I don't believe, yes, something has been done, but I don't think enough is being done to deal with people who are posted at border posts in the manner that will stop them from continuing committing crime. Sector policing. There are areas where it is working, but I still have to see one police station that will report to us that we have a fully working sector police sector policing in this police station. It should be like that, because even head office is telling us that during XA they will still be expecting the police, I mean the provincial commissioners, to give them this number of police stations to which sector policing will be rolled out. In fact, last year, the National Commissioner agreed that sector policing is just a chamois. It is a chamois, because for it to be effected properly and efficiently, you need resources. You need people, you need vehicles. You need people who are trained. You need people who are committed. And therefore, this is one other area, because as the portfolio committee, we believe that this sector policing as a strategy should assist us in fighting crime more efficiently. On promotion, we believe that the national management will have to explain to us this around this issue. We are being flooded by calls from people who are disgruntled with the manner in which this happened. And therefore, as said, we will actually be expecting the national management to explain this to the portfolio committee when we meet them. From the presentation that took place this afternoon, or in fact today, it is very obvious that each province has its own dynamics. And each province contribute in its own way in the fight against crime or in increasing crime. The issue is not about statistics, but it is about crime itself. And that is our focus, to say, how are we effectively fighting crime? Probably statistics is an indicator of how effectively are we in the fight against crime. However, in the main, what we are focusing on is the fight against crime, the reduction of crime. People must feel safe, and they must actually be safe. I really want to thank you, provincial commissioners, for coming before the portfolio committee, all of you, and for sharing information with us. Whatever that we say when we meet with the management, it is in the interest of the people of South Africa, but also in the interest of our stations, our clusters, our provinces, to work effectively and efficiently. I want to thank the members of the portfolio committee for the contribution, and if it was according to me, I would actually be inviting all provincial commissioners to attend the State of the Nation address tomorrow. However, I don't have access tickets, and such, it would be difficult for me to do that. For those who will want to probably remain, and probably will be remaining, it is possible that they will end up sitting here and watching it on TV or whatever. But really, we want to thank you for the engagement. We do believe that you are doing some good work. We do believe that you are providing leadership at province level. We do believe that you have what it takes to actually serve the people of South Africa. I therefore, at this stage, declare this meeting closed. Thank you.